Hello and welcome. All glory to God. It's a new day, and we praise God because He never lets us down, and He always comes through for us. And we get to look at the Word of God today. I'm plugging in the microphone, and as we get our hearts ready, our minds ready, we know that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and that's why we read the Word of God each and every day. We're joined by a special guest, Baby Pan. He's right here in my arms. He refused to sleep tonight, but that's just, we know that we need to train him to sleep during the night. Maybe I need to take some night shift, but who knows. Thankful that he's able to sleep with my grandparents, and now he's with us. And so, amen. Here we are, standing in the presence of the Lord our God to listen to His Word. And His Word is, like always we say, alive and powerful, authoritative, so strong, so mighty, so powerful, that we do not ever want to go a day without it. We always want to come and hear the Word of God. And so welcome everyone to Daily Jesus Time. Welcome everyone to building your life upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And my name is Pastor Josh Pan, and Pastor Pan loves you guys. And Jesus, He loves you even more. Amen. So good morning. And today we're going to be looking into the passage from 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12 to 21, to keep your guards up. And in this passage, we see how King Hezekiah has just previously asked for an extended life to not die, and God granted him extended life, 15 years extra, and he did not use that 15 years extra for good, for righteousness. Instead, he boasted. Instead, he fell into the traps, but yet he still was a righteous man. And so in this passage, we see arrogance. We see an example of self-exaltation, an example of pride. And although Hezekiah was righteous and totally committed to the Lord, he was not perfect. And soon after his illness, he unwisely entertained some ambassadors from Babylon. And in his entertaining, he exposed a heart of pride and self-exaltation. And because of his pride, the judgment of God was pronounced upon him, and a prediction made concerning the future destiny of the nation was there. In a very straightforward manner, the scripture shares the story of a king's pride. Now, pride is a very, very common issue for people this day and age. And in all generation, pride leads to downfall. Pride leads to destruction. Pride does not allow you to grow, rather causes you to falter, to stumble. And do you know that God resists the proud? He resists the proud, and He humbles the proud. And then, with the humble ones, He raises up. And so, we have to learn not to live our life in pride, but instead live our life in humility. Humility to the Lord, to walking in His ways, to building our life upon His firm foundation. Amen. And so let's not be prideful. As we read this, we may not understand it immediately, but we know the Word of God is alive, powerful, and able to teach us and lead us in our life. And so as we read it, just listen. Listen to the story. And then later on, I'll be able to share reflections, share exactly what this story is about. All right, let's get buckled up. Let's go. Listen to the very end. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12 to 21. And at that time, Merodach, Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he heard of Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouse, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oil, his armory and everything found among his treasure. And there was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Pretty much he was flashing his bling blings, showing off his stuff, and not even hiding, not even being humble. And so Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say? Where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They come from Babylon." That means Hezekiah is thinking, oh, they come from somewhere far away. They came from Babylon. They're no threat to us. In fact, Assyrians are the threat to us. And then the prophet asked, "What do they see in your palace?" "And they saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. I show them everything, all my bank account, all my treasures, all my spices, all the treasures that we have in this palace. I showed it all to them." And then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon, and nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood that will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will be eunuchs in the palace to the king of Babylon. And the word of the Lord you have spoken is good. The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied, for he thought, "There will not be peace and security in my lifetime." And as for the other events of Hezekiah's reign and all his achievements, are they not written in the book of annals of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah, he rested with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, succeeded him as king. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that comes by. And we thank you that we're able to hear your word. And we're able to read and study it and analyze it and see who you are and be able to understand what you have to say to us. Father God, we pray that you would just bless us with your understanding, with your wisdom, as we try to take away from your passage, as we long to understand and we hunger for your word each and every day. Lord God, I pray for your blessings upon everyone who comes by this live stream, hears the word of God, and be able to be planted with the seeds of the gospel about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, so that we will not walk in our own ways, but in your own ways. Lord God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So going through this passage, we can see how Hezekiah, his unwise entertainment of ambassadors from Babylon, was a picture of pride, and how he showed off the gifts, the riches, and the glory of his kingdom. Yet, it was not his to show off. It was not his to give. It was not his to show to other people. Yet, he did it instead. And he instead did not show off the one true God, the God that he followed, the God that he obeyed, the God that blessed him. He didn't show off God. Instead, he showed off the treasures that God has given to Jerusalem. And so we can see this unwise entertainment of ambassadors. And later on, Babylon will take over Judah. Babylon will be the fall of Judah. And we can see here that there was a concern of Babylon's crown prince over Hezekiah's illness. He heard that Hezekiah was dying, and so he sent his envoys, his messengers, his ambassadors, in order to come and greet him and just wish him well. And then the warm reception of Hezekiah and his foolishness and prideful entertainment took place. And the Babylon representatives, they saw all that he said, all that he showed them. And obviously, he was sharing the story of his healing. And he foolishly, pridefully showed them his vast wealth in his palace treasury and throughout the kingdom. He didn't show God. Instead, he showed the gifts that God has given him. And too many people, they fall for this trap. They start showing off the bling blings, the gifts that God has given them, instead of sharing the good news of Yahweh, the one true God. Too many people are walking in ways of pride and saying, you know, I made it. I did it all by myself. And I defended against the enemies, against the Assyrians, by myself. But that's not true. That's further from the truth. It was God who protected him, God who loved him, God who healed him, God who gave him new life, an extended life of 15 years, and God who guarded and defended Judah. It was not himself. It was God himself who did so. And so he foolishly and pridefully showed off his treasure and everything throughout the kingdom, the whole layout, and to the enemies, the future enemies, who were able to take advantage of that and say, hey, you got treasures, you got a palace, and we know the layout of your place now. Now you're so easy to invade because you have revealed what is truly in your heart, your shortcomings, what you're prideful for. And pride leads to destruction. Pride leads to downfall of people. And that's why it's so important to remain humble in all circumstances and to give thanks to all, to God who gives all and leads us and guides us and blesses us, protects us, provides for us. Amen. And so the rebuke of the Lord through the prophet of Isaiah happened, and Isaiah confronted and questioned Hezekiah about his unwise entertainment of the ambassadors. But Hezekiah, he made no attempt to hide his actions. He just said, yeah, I freely shared everything that I have done. And he's shown them his wealth, his treasure of the nation. He didn't repent. He didn't repent. Instead, he said, yeah, I just showed it all off. I showed how strong, how powerful we are. And I just took all the credit. And I did not give any credit to God himself. So even after being rebuked, after being corrected, he didn't turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I have done wrong. Lord, I'm sinful. Lord, I'm not perfect. Instead, he turned to his own ways. Instead, he made no attempt to hide his actions and was not ashamed of it. He was prideful instead. He was lost in his pride and he was blind to his pride. And so it's so important not to be blinded by your pride, instead to walk in the ways of God. And the judgment of God was pronounced upon Hezekiah and Judah due to Hezekiah's pride and his sin of the nation. And down through the centuries, someday Babylon would conquer Judah. And someday Babylon would carry off all the wealth and the treasures of the nations that Hezekiah was flashing and showing off. And some of Hezekiah's descendants and sons would be exiled to Babylon. In fact, the sons would be eunuchs of the palace of the king of Babylon. And so the repentance of Hezekiah happened in verse 19, that he humbly accepted God's judgment. And then he privately questioned if he would finish his days in peace and security. And then it didn't respond. And the achievements and summary of Hezekiah's life was written in the book of Chronicles. And talked about how he constructed the water tunnel for Jerusalem, and his death happened, and he was buried with his fathers, and his successor was his own son, Manasseh, carrying on the bloodline of King David, of King Solomon, bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, Esau, and the bloodline that eventually led to King Jesus. And so what can you learn from this? You can learn from 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12 to 15, something so powerful, which is a call for discernment. Obviously, King Hezekiah had great discernment throughout his own life, whole life, until he fell ill, and until he became old, and until his life was extended. His life was living a righteous life, and he was able to repent and to follow the one true God. Instead of walking in the ways of the world, instead of falling to the world, he decided to follow the one true God. And then now in here, we see a call for discernment. And Hezekiah, he lapsed in discernment, exposing him to potential danger when he welcomes Babylonian envoys and reveals all of his treasures. And his confidence in his wealth leads him to overlook the strategic implications of his actions, inadvertently providing valuable intelligence to potential adversaries, to potential enemies. And similarly, in moments of spiritual strength, we may become complacent and let our guard down, making ourselves vulnerable to the schemes of the devil. And the Word of God admonishes us to remain vigilant, to remain alert, to stand guard, and recognize the ongoing reality of spiritual warfare. If you are prideful, then pride is where the devil will attack you from. If you're lustful, the lust is where the devil will attack you from. If you're addicted to something, like gluttony, then God will attack you. Oh no, the devil will attack you through there. But you must humble yourself before God and allow God to transform you. To rely on God in all that you do, all that you say, and all that you choose. To let Him be your King. Let Him be your Lord, your Savior. Because the devil prowls like a roaring lion, seeking for those to devour. He's trying to devour you. He's trying to stop you from growing, trying to stop you from living life, from having peace. He's trying to instill fear in you so that you will be paralyzed and won't grow and go forward and build your life upon the foundation of God. Good morning, Julie and Juicy. Good morning, everyone. And so it's so important to walk in the ways of God. So important to have discernment. And that's why each and every day, multiple times, I pray to God for wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment. Because discernment will allow you to understand what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, what is good in the eyes of God, and what is evil in the eyes of God. And so with discernment, you'll be able to resist the devil, resist the temptation, to flee from it, and to walk in the ways of God. The Word of God really truly calls you to put on the full armor of God, to remain vigilant, to stand strong in Him, to recognize the ongoing reality of spiritual warfare, that the devil is trying to attack you, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, Jesus, comes to give you life, and life abundant, life to the fullest. And so it's so important to be spiritually alert, to cultivate discernment in all circumstances, and the spiritual disciplines that can help you stay spiritually alert. You see, your soul, your spirit is alive when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But the moment you say no to Jesus, the moment you stop reading the Word of God, the moment you stop praying, it's the moment you stop breathing. Your soul stops breathing. And your soul needs to breathe in order to survive, in order to stay alive. Because without breathing, the body would die. Just like praying, reading the Word of God, that is the breath of your soul. And so don't stop breathing. Don't stop reading the Word of God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop hearing the Word of God. Don't stop seeking Him, asking Him. Instead, keep praying continually. Pray without ceasing. Keep your eyes on things above and not on earthly things. Walk in His ways. Build your life upon His firm foundation. Have regular prayer and Bible study. Have fellowship with other believers in churches, at home, in communities, with other believers over meals, with other believers fasting and being accountable to your actions. Have accountability partnerships that strengthen you and your spiritual resilience. Just like iron sharpens iron, so does one person sharpens another. So don't live in isolation, but live in community in Christ. Live in His church. Live with one another to lift each other, and to see each other's blind spots. Because we know it is so dangerous in this world to live alone. The world is trying to isolate you. Like COVID, try to isolate people. Try to divide families. Try to separate people. And people are more separated than ever. And we must call for unity in Christ. We must call for people to come together in the name of Jesus, to walk in His ways, to walk in His promises, to walk in one mind, to walk in hunger for His word, and being thirsty for more of Him, being thirsty for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We need a life of discernment, a life of wisdom, understanding, knowledge. We need to live our life for Him. Because if we don't, then you're going to find your life headed towards ruin and destruction. If you don't live in humility and live in pride, you're going to find yourself reaping corruption and hitting a dead end and finding your life being empty. But if you walk in Christ, then you will find your life full of meaning, purpose, and the love and care of God. His mercy would be upon you. And He gave you salvation, gave you the good gift of the Holy Spirit, who is God, and God who lives in you, who transforms you, who blossoms you, who empowers you, who gives you strength to get through each new day, and who guides you and gives you direction through the challenges, through the troubles, and gives you the protection you need in order to face your enemies, your trials, your tribulation. You are not alone. And we thank God for that. That God is able to give you exceedingly, abundantly, above, more than what you can imagine, what you can think of, and what you can ask for. So there's a call for discernment. Dear Lord, I pray that You give me discernment today and every day of my life. And You pray for wisdom, understanding, knowledge. You pray that He instill, empowers you each and every day. Give you the ability to speak into the life of other people. To bless them so that they may grow. Bless you so that you may bless other people with the word of God. Share the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. A call for discernment. Have discernment. Be wise. And when you discern, you need to take action on that discernment. You must reject what is evil. Reject what God hates. And love what God loves. Hate what God hates. And live your ways upon God's truth, His word, His commands. And He will set you free. Free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of hell, from the bondage of the world. Amen. And number two, reflection, which you want to hear too. From 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 16 to 21, we see actions and consequences. How King Hezekiah grapples with the sobering reality of the consequences of his actions. His reckless decision to show off and display his treasures to the Babylonian envoys set in motion a chain of events that leads to Judah's eventual exile, to their downfall. His pride leads to the downfall of Judah, even though it's 100 years later. But his pride leads to downfall, to ruin, to destruction of the country itself in the future. You may not feel it immediately, but if you live in pride, it will eventually catch up to you. It will eventually throw you down so hard that you lose everything that you worked so hard to work for. Everything you worked hard to accumulate and to build up. That pride will destroy everything. And that's why God calls you to be living in a life of humility, living a life of walking in His ways. Because we know our God is all powerful, all knowledge, and He's bigger than us. He's more powerful than us. He's limitless and we are limited. And then He has all that we need. And that's why we depend on Him each and every day. We do not let our pride grapple our hearts. We have to be committed to being humble every day. Because His judgment is coming. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of His judgment. You want to live in humility so that He can bless you instead of judging you. Instead of you having to reap the reality of the consequences of His judgment, of eternal separation from God. And so King Hezekiah, his reckless decision to show off his gift and treasures that was from God Almighty, caused the kingdom to fall 100 years later. And Hezekiah's response to the prophecy of reflecting a self-centered perspective, where Isaiah calls him out and say, hey, that ain't the way to live. You're not here to show off your treasures. You're here to glorify God and give Him all glory for your life, for your gifts, for the treasures that you accumulated. You don't want to hold on to these treasures. Instead, you want to hold on to God Himself. And as King Hezekiah assumes that the repercussions will not affect him directly, he's like, hey, surely I will have security and stability. Yeah, he will during his lifetime. But his sons' next generation will pay for his sin, for pay for his pride. And this underscores the danger of spiritual recklessness and self-centeredness, especially upon leaders. Leaders who are self-centered and showing off all that God has done, well, God will judge them. And that will be the downfall of their accomplishment. It will all be taken away. They will leave with nothing in the end. And their treasures on earth will fade away. But if you store, God says to store your treasures in heaven, where it does not rust, where moth does not destroy, where thieves cannot steal. But on earth, if you store it here, then it will rust. It will be destroyed. It's temporary. And it will fade away one day. And you cannot take it with you to heaven. So as believers, you must consider the long-term consequences of your action and cultivate humility and repentance to guard your hearts against the spiritual recklessness. And you must be proactively, each and every day, committed to cultivating habits that will prevent you from taking such a thoughtless action by revealing your heart to the enemy, your weakness to the enemy. Instead, be humble to the Lord and let the Lord guide you, protect you, lead you. So regular self-examination, accountability relationship, and wise counsel can help foster this humility and discernment in decision making. You see, if you make decisions upon your own mind without going to God, His wisdom, without going to wise counsel, then it's going to be really difficult to walk in a direct step in which God wants you to walk. It's going to be difficult to build your life upon His firm foundation if you just walk in your own ways, in your own desires. In fact, you're going to fail. But if you are humble and ask God to reveal His will, His plans to you, then you will be able to walk in His ways, in obedience. And then you will see that He will make your path straight. In Proverbs, it says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean on the understanding of God and not your own understanding. Submit in all of His ways and He will make your path straight. And what is His way? Jesus is the way. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so we must walk in His ways. When your actions are walking in God's ways, there will be blessings. There will be protection. And you know that you will be victorious in the end in Christ. Because Christ has defeated and overcome the world. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome death and sin. And when you walk in Jesus, you're no longer held down by the world. You're no longer held down by the sin, by death. You're no longer held down by the grave. You're now exalted into His presence. And you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And so time, it's time to take accountability, take action, and take humility by walking in His ways. Accept God's gift and His command. The main word I was looking for is take responsibility and ownership of your ways by examining your way of life, by going to wise counsel to direct your step instead of walking in your own ways. You absolutely must take a responsibility and ownership of what happens to you. All the consequences, you must stop blaming other people, pointing your fingers at other people and saying, it's you that did it. It's because of you. No. You must take ownership and say, okay, I made a mistake. Where can I correct myself? How can I improve? How can I improve 1% each and every day? How can I get closer to God each and every day? How can I walk in obedience to Him each and every day? It's not just a once a week thing, but it's a daily thing. And that's why God has called us to meditate on the Word of God each and every day, during the day, during the night, to memorize it, to meditate, to speak it, to share it, to converse it, to be walking in His ways. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We give thanks to God for giving us His commandments and His wisdom because He is so good. And He makes a way for us when there's no way. He fights for us. And if God is for us and with us, then who can stand against us? And so we praise God for being the God who's given us all the gifts that we have. The gift of life. You're breathing, you're living, we praise God for that. The gift of good health. You're living, you're still alive, praise God for health. The gift of internet, of the tablets, of the phones, these are all gifts. You must not worship the gift. You must worship the giver of the gift. He's given you treasures. He's given you talents. He's given you time. These are gifts, and you must not worship it. You must worship God Himself, who's the giver of the gift. Responsibility is a key word. If you don't take responsibility for your own actions, you're going to fall into the same trap over and over and over again. The same sin over and over and over again. Because it is your responsibility to get out. Now, Jesus made a way for you to get out. He's given you the power to get out. He's given you the ability to get out of your situation. Because He does not tempt you beyond what you can handle. And in every temptation, He gives you means to escape. And that escape is number one, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God who never lets us down. El Shaddai, God Almighty, God of more than enough, Jehovah Jireh, God my provider, who meets all my needs, Emmanuel, God with us in the darkness, with us in the field, with us in the city. He's with you. He's with you in the fire, with you in the storm, with you in the darkness. And he wants to bring you into his marvelous light, bring you into somewhere that's better, bring you into his promised land. And that's why we walk in his ways. And that's why he is our Lord, our God, our everything. Amen. And so responsibility. Take responsibility. A lot of people don't want responsibility. A lot of people just drink their life away, game their life away, scroll their life away. A lot of people binge watch their life away and take it for granted. But life is so short. It's too short to waste it away. Life must be meant to worship and glorify God and to point others to him and to cultivate a relationship with him. Not tradition, not rituals, not religion. No, a relationship. And relationship takes time. Relationships, you must speak to him each and every day through prayer, a heart of gratitude, rejoicing and thanking him for all that he's given you, giving you eternal life, giving you stability, giving you security, giving you love, unconditional love, and agape love that we do not deserve, giving you this eternal peace. We praise God with all of our heart because there is no one like him. And he is the creator of heaven and earth. He's above it all. And he cannot be boxed in time, matter, and space. And so that's why we worship him, glorify him. Amen. And hypothetically, something happens. And a lot of people might assume a lot of things. But no, we don't have to. We don't have to assume anything. Because we know that God is real. God is faithful. And God is for us. And he fights for us. And he came through for us. And when you put your trust, your hope in God, and believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that God rose him from the dead, and declare him as your Lord and Savior, then beautiful things will start happening. And he will prepare you. He'll train you. And he'll lead you down the path of righteousness, of holiness, to be sanctified in Christ, to be built up in him. There is no one like him. And we thank him for the relationships that he's given us. You see, I did not come from money. I did not come from somewhere that is worldly success. No. Actually, I was really blessed to come from a pastor's kid's family, pastor's household, then a missionary kid, which really trained me to withhold my thoughts, withhold my speech in order to speak wisely and clearly. Because as a missionary kid, I was not allowed to speak about Jesus because there's danger in speaking about Jesus in the country that I was at. In fact, after 4 years of living over there, we were kicked out by the government, given 1 week to leave. Normally we have 1 day, but God gave us 1 week and we were kicked out. And so God brought us into a better place and we give him all glory, all honor. Amen. And then, looking back into this passage of 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12 to 21, we can see Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he lived an extra 15 years. But that 15 years, he did not live in humility. He did not live in righteousness. I believe that he should have just died when he was meant to die and just go to heaven. Instead, he begged God for extended life. And God granted him the extended life of 15 years. And he lived in pride, which led to the downfall of Judah later on. And hearing about Hezekiah's deathly illness, the crown prince of Babylon, he sent a letter and gift to Hezekiah as an expression of his concern. It seemed peaceful, right? The devil comes in sheep's clothing, in peace, offering you the things of the world, expressing concern and care. But in the end, 100 years later, the Babylonians captured Judah and destroyed them and exiled them and stole all of their property, all of their gold and silver. So, why would the crown prince of Babylon, the soon-to-be superpower, supernation of the world, want to express his concern for Hezekiah? In 2 Chronicles, it tells us of his curiosity that aroused when he heard about the miraculous healing of Hezekiah and the movement of the sundial and him defeating pushing off the Assyrian army, the superpower of that day. But additionally, information is supplied by the Jewish historian Josephus. He says that the king of Babylon sought Hezekiah as a friend and ally because he knew he was able to hold off enemies. So he wanted to be a friend and ally of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah revealed too much to the enemy or potential enemy adversary. He revealed the treasures and the gifts that God has given him and revealed the inner courts of the palace, which allowed the enemy to draw schemes and to come and invade into Hezekiah's kingdom later on. And likewise, I'm watching this anime right now, and there's this elf, superpower, very powerful, and she learned to suppress her mana, her energy, and do that for lifelong, and only show 1/10 of her mana, which makes people look at her, and when they can see the mana, the energy that she exerts, they see only very little. And so everyone underestimates her. Even the enemies underestimate her, and even challenges her, and because she looks so weak. But the elf, when needed, brings out that extraordinary mana that she accumulated for a thousand years. And people are blown away. The enemy is destroyed. And we can do this as well by suppressing our pride, by pressing it down and being humble, only showing 10%. And then glorifying God, who is almighty, all-powerful, giving thanks to him in all circumstances. Let him be the one that shines. Do not reveal our hearts. Do not reveal what we've done, our milestones. It's great, but we need to be humble in all circumstances. And we need to give glory to God and be humble. Suppress it. Just like the elf suppresses her mana, her power. And then the enemy comes and tries to destroy you. But you catch him off guard because you're more humble than ever. And humility is the way to resist the devil, saying, I'm not strong enough in my own power. But God is strong enough. God is more powerful. And God is able. So I will rely on him each and every day. And I'll build my life upon the firm foundation of our Lord our God, because he will never let us down and he will always come through for us. The enemy may come and say, hey, I want to be your friend. I want to be an ally. I want to help you. Just like he tempted Jesus and said, I'm going to give you all the things of the world. I'm going to make all kingdoms bow down to you. I can give it all to you. It's like the devil was trying to be a friend. But no, he was trying to tempt and trick Jesus into submitting to the devil instead to God. And Jesus said, away from me, away from me. No longer will you have a hold on me. No longer will you be tempting me. Because the word of the Lord says, man shall not live life alone. Live on bread alone. And so, the The Word of God must be studied each and every day as you cultivate a life of humility, as you walk in the ways of God. Live in discernment and allow God to bless you. Allow God to give you what you need. Allow God's goodness and mercy, which surely chases after you all the days of your life. And may your cup overflow, because God is continually pouring into you as you release and get rid of all the bad things in your life. Delete it, eliminate it, and grow in Christ. Amen. And whatever the purpose that the enemy of Babylon had, Hezekiah gave the ambassadors, the envoys, a warm reception. And with pride welling up in his heart, he did not humble himself, but he was proud. He said, "I resisted the Assyrians. I resisted the enemy." But no, he did not. God resisted the enemy. God was the one that had the angels destroy 185,000 Assyrian soldiers within one night. And they retreated and they ran away. And they abandoned all the things that they had over there. And with pride in his heart, he entertained the envoys by sharing the story of his healing. And then foolishly, pridefully, he showed them his vast wealth, his gold, his silver, his oil. He showed the inner courts, his treasures within the kingdom, which made people jealous, which made people covet what he has. And eventually, they want to come and steal, kill, and destroy. But if you don't reveal it to other people, if you keep it in your heart, then they won't know there's something to steal, something to take from you, something to destroy. No, you're protected. Protected by God, His grace, His mercy, His wisdom, His discernment. You're protected by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the greatest treasure of all. But yeah, you want to share about Jesus. You want to boast in Jesus. You don't want to boast in yourself, ever. Because if you look at yourself, you're so limited. But God, He is unlimited. He's all-powerful. He's able. But we can't do it on our own power. And so we must always give glory to God and share the story of God healing him, God blessing him. Instead of saying, "I did it. I did it all. I accumulated. It was my effort. It was myself." No, that is the foolishness of the world. And so there was nothing in the palace throughout the kingdom that he failed to show them. And obviously, this included the strength of his military, as well as the wealth found in the palace and temple treasures. And I believe as the Assyrians, they ran off, they left, abandoned all the things they had. That means they had spoil. And that means the people of Judah can take it and bring it home and bring the treasures home. And as we would expect it, the Lord immediately gave him correction, rebuked him, Hezekiah, with the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah confronted the king and questioned him about entertaining the ambassadors of where they came from. And he said, "Oh, they're no biggie. They're from the distant land, far, far away. And I just showed them my treasures." And he made no attempt in humbling himself or hiding his actions or saying it's wrong. Instead, he freely shared what he's done. It's like he'd become a foolish king, bragging about his own milestones, his own accomplishment. And he showed them the wealth and the treasuries of the nation. And sadly, but with the authority of God himself, the prophet Isaiah pronounced God's judgment upon Hezekiah and Judah. Due to Hezekiah's pride and the sins of the nation down through the generations, had Judah would face this consequence, condemnation by God, being exiled, being conquered by the very envoys, the very messengers, the very ambassadors that came to visit them from Babylon. Babylon would conquer Judah and carry off all the wealth of the nation. And what Babylon ambassadors had seen, all the wealth of the nation would not be forgotten. Future leaders of Babylon would covet the wealth shown by Hezekiah in his moment of self-exaltation and pride. Moreover, some of Hezekiah's descendants would be exiled to Babylon and be forced to serve as devoted slaves and eunuchs in the palace of the Babylon king. And that in spirit of repentance, Hezekiah humbly accepted God's judgment, but in his private thoughts, he was wondering and asking himself if he would finish out his days in peace, security, stability, and prosperity. And his achievement was written in the book of Chronicles, and also recording his major projects of the tunnel, of constructing the water tunnel of Jerusalem. And after his death, he was succeeded by his son Manasseh, who was an evil king who carried after his evil pride at the end of his life. And so that was a very unfortunate thing. But what can you learn from this? You can learn that pride is a very terrible evil. When a person looks upon himself as being superior or better than other people, he exalts himself above other people, applauding his own efforts, and feels that he should be preferred over others, and considers himself more valuable than others. That is pride. That is leading towards ruin and destruction. A person full of pride and self-exaltation is often arrogant, overbearing, disrespectful, and frequently putting other people down, degrading them, shaming them, embarrassing them, harming them, subjecting them, and in some cases, even enslaving them, other people. And for this reason, God condemns pride and the exalting of oneself above others. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what God says himself. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, it says, "And whoever shall exalt himself will be humbled, and then he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "Be of the same mind of one another, mind not of high, but be humble, be associated with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation, in your own knowledge, in your own conceit." Amen. But be wise in Christ, in his ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. Is it Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." If you think that you know everything, then you know nothing that you should know. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says, "If a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We are nothing. I am nothing. But God makes us something. But without God, I am nothing. I just returned back to earth one day. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace. And God resists the proud, but gives grace to all the humble." Amen. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16, "For all that is in this world, the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life is not in the Father, but of the world. And if you are living in the lust of flesh, in the lust of eyes, in the pride of life, then you are living in the world and you're not living in Christ." And we are to live in Christ in all that we do, in all that we say. We're to live in His glory. We're to live in His presence. We're to live in His command. We're to live in obedience to the Lord our God. We're to live in humility and to obey Him in all that we do. Praise the Lord, for His word is true, and His word is alive and powerful. We must humble ourselves. Psalm chapter 49, verse 6 to 7, it says, "And they that trust in their wealth, in their money, in their materialistic things, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. So pretty much, you cannot buy your way to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. Your wealth will not save you. Your riches will not save you. Your soul will enter into ruin and destruction, into eternal separation from God, if you worship your wealth, if you let your pride get to you. But you must be humble. Humble and know that it was by the blood of Jesus Christ in which you've been saved from the consequence, from the punishment of sin. For the wages of sin is death. And we all sinned. We all fallen short of the glory of God. But God, he gave us a gift of eternal life in Christ. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. And because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. And all you got to do is believe and confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and accept him and allow him to be your Lord. Say Jesus forever, and believe that God raised him from the dead and ascended to heaven and defeated sin and death. Amen. Psalm chapter 119, verse 21 says, "And you rebuke the arrogant that are cursed, who wander, who go away from your commandment, from your righteousness, from your promises, who wander away." You rebuke them. They wander away. Pride causes people to wander into the world, wander away from the one true God. Pride is a dangerous thing. And that's why we must live in humility and not live in pride. We must check our hearts and say, "Lord, I pray, for you are our Lord, our Savior. You are the one that can give us, lead us in everything that we do towards your righteousness. Give us what we need." Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, submit to him, and depart from evil. Run away from evil. Turn away from evil." And that evil could be your own phone. That evil can be people that are doing wrong things and leading you astray. You need to turn away from it. You need to delete it. You need to sanctify your heart, your soul, your mind. Become righteous. Walk in holiness without sin. You need to ask God for wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for his direction, for discernment in life. Because without that, we're empty, we're lost. We're headed towards ruin and destruction. We need a soul into the Spirit. Soul into Christ, into a relationship with him. And he will give you eternal life. But if you sow into your deceitful desires, into your flesh, then that will reap eternal corruption, ruin, and destruction. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18, "A heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that is swift to running in evil." We must turn away. When pride comes, then comes shame. But the lowly is wisdom. There will be shame when you're proud. Pride may feel good for a little bit, but it's only temporary. What is eternal and eternal peace is in God. You live in Christ. You live in victory. You live in his blessings, in his protection. You're a new creation. You no longer live in shame, in regret. You no longer are that old creation The new has come. The old is gone. So no longer do you have to live in pride. You can live in humility in Christ. Amen. Obadiah chapter 4. And when one upholds himself high like an eagle and sets himself among the stars, I will shoot him down. I will destroy them. I will bring them down, declares the Lord. So it's time to repent. Time to turn to God. Time to say, yes, Lord, I need you. I cannot live my life without you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, that's the best choice you can ever make. So Jesus can bless you. Jesus can walk with you. Jesus can save you from your addictions, from your sins, from the things that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of. Jesus is the answer. He is the only way. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. I thank you that you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, to be a living sacrifice for my sin, to forgive me for my shame, for my weakness, for my evil, for my wrongdoings. That you have covered me with your blood and you have given me grace and peace and freedom from the punishment of sin. Lord God, I deserve to be separated from you, but you love us so much that you send your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, so that we may have a way to have a relationship with you each and every day, and to build our life upon your firm foundation. Lord God, we confess with our mouth that we need a Savior, that you are Lord, you are King above all, and that we pray for you forgive our sins. We pray that we will be sanctified each and every day in you, and we commit to a life of prayer without ceasing, to a life of reading your word, hearing your word every day, to a life of building community, fellowship, your kingdom here on earth. Lord God, we thank you so much because it is by your grace we're here. Without you, we're nothing. Without you, this would not be here. So Jesus, you're the one that made all things happen. You're the one that set me free. You're the one that gives me all that I need. So Lord, I thank you so much. And in Jesus' name, I come before you. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that you bless them, protect them, heal them, bring supernatural healing and divine intervention into their life. Bless them. Give them wisdom, understanding, discernment in their life. We love you, God. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. And so, I'm going to read some comments. I'm going to answer some questions. It says, are you in Houston? And what church? I'm in California, in the Bay Area, in Fremont, California. My church is called Tree of Life, Lord's Harvest Christian Church. Tree of Life Christian Church in Fremont, California. Child God, hello, welcome. Perla, thanks for the follow. Thanks for the subscribe. Thanks for the likes. It really helps the channel. Lisette, Nick, Child God, Lulu, Gwen, Tasha, Jabria, all says amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. God is great. God is good. Abigail Daniel says, Jesus paid the price for our sin. And the Bible also tells us to be more like Christ, to walk in his ways, to build our life upon his firm foundation. Amen. There's no one like our God. And then Chance says, yeah, the enemy tries to destroy me. No, because he's making me feel sad. Yeah. So we want to trust in the Lord. We want to build our life upon His firm foundation. We want to grow in Him every day. I would say 1% each day, closer and closer to God. And when you see that 1% every day, you will grow. And that 1% will grow exponentially one day. And you'll see that exponential growth. You'll see that supernatural growth in your life. Only God can do that. God is our Lord, our Savior, who is the ultimate power, ultimate wisdom, and the ultimate one that we want to follow. Amen. So turn to the Lord today. Walk in His ways. Build your life upon His firm foundation. We still have 4 application questions, which is so good, so we can answer it together. Amen. And Rubia Khan said, "Praise the Lord, dear brother. Praise the Lord, for He is good." Amen. Thank you, bro. I will believe in Him. All glory to God. Yeah, God is good. And Kerfala, amen and amen. Amen. Nick says, "Thanks for the follow." Audra Chirami says, "Have a blessed day." Cherie, thanks for the follow. April 5 Boys, thank you for sharing the truth. All glory to God. God is good all the time. Yes, Lisette. Ram says, "Amen, my brother." Amen, amen, amen. Cherie, amen and thank you. Praise the Lord. Under Tam Subjective says, "Amen, the ultimate." Amen. Praise the Lord. Aiden Winston, amen. God bless you. Galuk says, "It's like you are the man I used to see in YouTube that always talk about the truth, brother. Hey, all glory to God. The truth will set you free, and the truth is Jesus Himself, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Word of God. He's the truth. And the Word of God cannot lie. The Word of God is alive and powerful." Obra Pong, prayer. God bless you. Amen. Emet P, praise the Lord. God bless you. Esteban Gomez, God bless you. Amen. He is so good. Linberry Art, God bless you. Thanks for coming. I always like seeing you because I know that you will always continue to talk about the truth. Thank you so much. All glory to God. The Word of God is true. So we root ourselves upon His passage, upon His Word. Not upon my own words, because my words fall short. But God's Word is alive and powerful. And so it's so important to memorize it, to read it, to recite it each and every day, so that we will speak it with clarity. Amen. Hi, Chloe. We need God every day in my life, in your life. Amen. And you can accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You can have Him today. And today's the day we should do so. Amen. Incognito Ghana, hello, God bless you. Kerfala, amen, amen. God have mercy, yes, on you. I love you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Audra says, "I appreciate your truth and powerful words every new morning." Amen. Nick says, "I like you. Use the scripture. The Word of God is all we can do. Speak the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak for itself. It's not my words. And I don't know what's tomorrow. Tomorrow, what will it be? It's going to be in the next passage." God bless you. Amen. Marianne, God bless you. Good to see you again every time. Yeah. Dragon King. Dragon King 5 says, amen. Dallas Leons, God bless you. Zachary. Oh, you're watching from Ghana. That's very cool. Very, very cool. Amen. Even when you don't feel it, like it, God's presence, and God is always good. When you don't feel it, when you don't see it, God is here. Maria Bear, God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you as well. You're truly a man of God. Hey, I'm a sinner, and I've done wrong, and I strive to be sanctified in Him every day, 1% closer to Him every day, 1% better every day, 1% improvement every day. And that way, you're sanctified in Him. And that's why we need to apply the Word of God to our life. Abakar, hello. Thank you, brother. May the Almighty strengthen you and give you more wisdom to preach the Word of God. Thank you so much. Yeah, we need to ask God for wisdom, understanding, knowledge each and every day. Praise the Lord. I have a dream that God said He accepted me in heaven. Amen. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then He will accept you in heaven. But if you reject Him, then He will reject you. So today is the day we must accept Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so first application question is, when have you been tempted to let your guard down? Well, yeah, you know, I'm tempted. Like, whenever I scroll through Netflix, I've been looking through, is there any good videos? And I know if I fall into the trap of watching one show of a TV show, then I'll end up binge watching the whole thing and wasting my time, my energy, in which I should be spending in producing videos and being productive in doing God's will, God's promises. I mean, yeah. Yep. And that temptation is there. I've been tempted to let my guard down. But you know, you must flee from temptation. Reject it. Be sanctified every day to build your life upon His firm foundation. Shalom. Welcome. Welcome. So, as you walk by faith, you walk in Christ. You don't have to sin. You don't have to live an unrighteous life because He gave you the ability to withstand the temptation, to flee from it, to overcome it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Because Jesus had you on His mind when He was on that cross, and you're still on His mind and still cares for you. Number 2 out of 4, what spiritual disciplines can you work on to help your keep spiritually alert? You know, I think for my daily devotions, I can come up with one application, SMART goal in each devotion. And in this case, I will say for the next week, each and every day, I will work on humbling myself, which I do already. But what can I draw from here? Work on humbling myself and write down things that are causing me to fall astray from Him, and to work on eliminating and deleting it. That's a SMART goal. Attainable. Maybe one thing, at least one thing a day. To delete, to stop. Because we know there's consequences to actions. There's also blessings to your actions. Amen. So, we read the Word of God every day. We pray continually. Those are great disciplines to keep you spiritually alert. And then we surround ourselves with the right people. With God's people. People who will love the Lord. And that's why you're here. You're surrounding yourself with God's wisdom. Number 3 out of 4. In what areas in life are you prone to selfishness? Well, I'm prone to selfishness. In what areas? Well, I am selfish in my time. I know how precious my time is. And sometimes I fall short in protecting my time. I fall short by not being productive, by not reading, instead just watching anime, by watching Netflix, by watching the Olympics entertainment, by scrolling my life away. By gaming my life away. And then I become numb to it. And I don't even know that I'm doing it anymore. Until I finish. And I'm like, where has time gone? How have I wasted my time away? I cannot believe it. Man, I need God. I need His help to prune the things on my branch that's holding me down, that's causing me to not grow, to prune it, to burn away all the things that are destroying my life, that are destructive. I need God to help me. Lord, help me. It's real, guys. There are temptations still in this righteous man's life, in this pastor's life. But I long to walk in His righteousness and to start with Him, to put Him first in my life, instead of walking in my own ways. And see, that's humility. I cannot say I'm perfect. I cannot say I'm righteous. I'm a Pharisee. No. I admit that we're here on a journey together. You and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, together in Christ. And so we praise God that you are able to know that we're in this journey together. We're in a relationship with Him. That the brokenness you feel, I feel too. The temptations, I feel as well. And there was once where I was so far away from Him, in isolation, in pain, in destruction. I was almost completely eliminated, devoured by the devil. But God's divine intervention has saved me, has set me free, has given me life. And so we need Christ every day. Malice, joy, amen. And we see Him every day. We look for Him. We long for Him to be in our hearts so that we can serve Him, so that we can bless other people, so that we have purpose and meaning. It is what God does for us. Amen. And so, there are so many things, so many temptations that can cause us to fall. But we don't have to fall when we walk in the ways of God each and every day. Amen. 81 people, praise the Lord on YouTube. All glory to God. 41 people on TikTok, all glory to God. Amen. And God bless everyone on like as well. And thank you guys for being here with me. From Uganda, praise the Lord. And thank you for the follow, Audra, Lisette, Ganza, God is so good. And so we're getting real here. You and I, God came through, and God is coming through in our life. You're not alone. God is with us. And so number four, what can help believers guard against spiritual carelessness? Well, we need a mentor. We need someone to keep us accountable. We can't live life in isolation. We need community. We need a local church. We need people who gather together to have Bible study every day. Together. Every week. Together. To be on same page, of same mind. To elevate our leaders. Elevate leadership. To elevate ourselves. And the only way we can elevate ourselves is by humbling ourselves before God. And we only elevate ourselves in order to serve the Lord, and not for our own selfish desires or gain. No. It's okay to be elevated by God. God is the one that elevates people. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the mountains, blessed wherever you go, blessed when you go in, blessed when you come out. He wants to bless you. And that is our Lord, our God. A God who blesses. A God who rewards. A God who gives you more than enough. He blessed Abraham with a son. He blessed Abraham and said, I will make you a great nation. Not just a nation, but a great nation. I will make your name great. I will give you everything you need, provide for you. I will protect you. I will be your shield. And that same Abrahamic blessings and covenant that God has with Abraham is the same covenant that He has with you. He will bless you in the field, bless you in the city, bless you when you go in and bless you when you come out. He will bless you in your family, bless you in your community, bless you when you continue walking in the ways of the Lord your God. God will bless you. And that's why you must connect with God, Jesus Christ, who blesses. If you do not connect with Him, if you do not walk with Him every day, then how can you be blessed? If you do not stay connected to the source of life, to the source, the power, the source of wisdom, then how do you think you can be blessed? If you do not receive Jesus into your heart, receive the Holy Spirit into your life, if you do not receive His commands, His promises, His plans, then how will you be able to walk in the ways of God? That's why you must read His word and discover God. And if you're still here, we praise God that you're receiving from Him, encouragement from Him. This live stream is on podcast, Daily Jesus Time Devotion. It's on Amazon Music. It's on Spotify. It's on 10 other podcasts. It's on YouTube recorded video. You guys, I try to provide many avenues so that you may be able to connect and be able to receive the word of God. Pastor Josh Pan is just a vessel for the Lord. I'm just speaking for the Lord. I'm just an ambassador of the Lord. And I'm just doing as He commands, which is to go into all the earth, sharing about the good news, talking about Jesus, sharing the gospel, baptizing those in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. We connect as a family. Kafia Kelsey. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy upon me. Yes, God has mercy upon us. He says, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Howdy. Hello. Thank you. Needed that. I really needed it. I love it. All glory to God. You can join me in this daily Jesus time, daily live stream. Amen. Hunter, God bless you. Praise God Almighty. He is so good. And God bless your family. Brittany Bosley says, all blessings come from God. All perfect gifts, all good things come from God. And we got to walk in His presence. Amen. Virginia, welcome. Christine, welcome. Amy, thanks for the follow. Nick says, thank you, Jesus. He is so good. And Shay, I agree. His mercies are new every morning. Morning by morning, we walk in His ways. It's so, so good. And that's why we love Him and we thank Him for all that He's done. Zoe, Nanya, thank you. God bless you. Amen. So a letter to God. Dear God, please grant me wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment to consider the consequences of my actions. May I walk in your ways, in obedience, in all that you have commanded me. Let it be your will and not my will. Let it be your way and not my way. Let it be your thoughts and not my thoughts. O Lord God, I submit to your ways, in all your ways, for I know you make my path straight when I submit to you, and lean not on my own understanding, but in your ways, Lord God. And Father God, I pray that you would bring protection upon my brothers and sisters in Christ, provision, supernatural healing upon them. Allow them to experience you each and every day and be reminded of your goodness, your mercy, and your love. And Lord God, we pray that we would recognize, be able to identify our tendencies towards self-centeredness, instead to chase after you and not chase after the things of the world. To chase after you, God, because we know when we chase you, we don't have to chase the things of the world, because surely your goodness and your mercy chases after me all the days of my life. We don't have to be chasing it. Your goodness, your mercy chases us when we chase you. We praise you, God. And Father God, we pray that we would learn to be selfless, to serve, to live a life of gratitude, a life of generosity. Lord God, help us to stand on guard, stand alert, to stand firm in you. Our hearts would be wholeheartedly towards you, not half-heartedly, but 100% overflowing towards you, to stand up against the spiritual recklessness and to cultivate a spirit of humility, to stand up against pride and to stand in humility. We must not live in pride, must not celebrate pride. Instead, celebrate humility and repentance in Christ each and every day. We love you, God, because you never let us down, and because you loved us first, and you came through for us, and you laid your life down for us. For there's no greater love than this, but one to lay down for another, and that's what Jesus did. You laid your life down for us. And so we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Last time, Hunter says, "And even in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your staff, your rod, they comfort me." Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God is love. We love him for everything, for he is good. Lamiel Rose, amen. Completely true. Zoe, amen and amen. His mercies, his grace chases us everywhere we go. Amen. God is good. We love this so much. It's a great reminder, William. Amen. Praise the Lord, Melinda. Tasha, amen. Pamela's Joy, amen. Jordan Hunt Lockler, follow. Thanks for the follow. Pamela says, "We are blessed in coming in, blessed going out." Amen. We're blessed in the field, blessed in the city. We're blessed as we're here, we're blessed as we go. We are blessed. And so we don't take it for granted. It was God that blesses us. If you read Psalm chapter 1, it's blessed are those who walk in the ways of the Lord, our God Almighty. Blessings are from God. Good things are from God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you guys for joining me. Cute Bacon, thank you for being here. I thank you for being a blessing in my life, for being such good sport, for being part of this journey as we do this daily Jesus time. Thank you for being a part of this, partnering with me by being present. And that's all I ask for, being present. And that's all. I love it. And thank you for sharing and being a light of this world. May God continue blessing you and being in your life and walking with you each and every day. May you stand strong in him. In Jesus' name, amen. He loves you so much. Yes, he blesses you. Yes. God bless you. Panda out for now. I'll see you next time. Amen. Thank you for being with here. 1 hour, 30 minutes. Glory to God. Take care. Love you.